You know, this week is a very, very special week. And as the kids came in and they bring in the palms, celebrating the Savior coming. That's what we get to do this week. We get to celebrate and prepare our hearts for what the Savior. We're going to be celebrating next week of the resurrection. But we get to actually celebrate every single day of our lives for those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And it's a great reminder. These palm branches. That today and this week, that we need to prepare our hearts. If we're not, haven't been already preparing, may this be a time that you dedicate to think about the Lord more in your life this week. And get ready to celebrate next week. We got revival coming tonight and this week, and it's just thinking this morning when the announcements are going, it's like, you know what? We're getting prepared and ready during the revival for this end of this week as well. And we've been preparing and getting ready for the revival and in the last few weeks of praying for it and what God is going to do. And because you know, we're not having a revival just for the sake of a name revival. The expectation is that God is going to take us where we're at and what He's been teaching our church in the last 8 months, at least since I've been here. What's the next place you want us to take us? Where do you want us to go from here, Lord? We want to be ignited by you, not just having a special occasion, which we call a revival. It's not just a thing that we do. It's a seeking out of God. Because God, I don't want to stay in the same place where I'm at. I want to be moved in your direction where you're taking me and more in a relationship with you that's deeper, that's spreading you to other people. So I don't want to stay in the same place. That's what revival does. It reminds us of how much we need a Savior and how much we need Him in the midst of every single choice in our lives. Because sometimes we can forget it. But it's absolutely not an event that we just do. So as you come out this week and you prepare your hearts, whatever day that you can make it, whatever day God calls you to come, don't let the evil one try to convince you you're too tired. There are days that you are tired and you need to stay home, even over revival week. But if Jesus says come, you need to come because you're going to miss out. And I was sharing on Wednesday that there was a time where like we're talking about it. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to come to church. I'll never say you have to be here. I want you to be here. I want to be encouraged. I want to grow with you. I want God to speak through you to me. Wednesday nights do that for me. It's beautiful. I hear so many different stories of what God's doing in people's lives. And we're talking a little bit about how in my life there was a time where the Lord's like, hey, let's go to church. I said, God, I'm tired. I don't feel like going. It's in college. And I get a mulligan, right, or whatever. I don't know if that's the right word for golfers. Mulligan, is that right? Mulligan. Yeah. Mulligan. You get a freebie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get a freebie. I don't have to. And my friend the next day is like, dude, you missed the best sermon time ever. God was moving. And I'm going, God, man, I've been waiting for this. He said, yeah, I know. That was the day. I said, well, next week. Will you do it next week? Didn't happen next week. What happened the week? No, it didn't happen the week after that. Because he said that was the moment. You didn't listen. You chose. It's clear as day. I chose to stay away from the body at that moment. Now, there are other days I'm tired. Lord, do I have to go? And he says, no, you can stay here. It's okay. So you need to listen to what the Lord is saying in your life. There are days we're super tired, and he says, go. There are days, and I shared on Wednesday, I don't want to be here. I'm tired on Wednesday nights too. And if I wasn't the pastor, I probably wouldn't have come. Honestly. But guess what? I'd have missed some of the blessings because I leave on those tired moments. I'm like, God, I need you even more right now. And I leave so encouraged. There's never been a time I haven't left and said, man, I just wish I would have stayed home today. Because God met me there and he said, thank you. Somehow he does it. And it's beautiful. So this week, as you prepare for the whole week, not just for the revival time, but for the whole week, ask God what he wants you to do when he wants you to do it. Can you do that? You'll have a joyful life. And you won't regret not going somewhere if you know God's saying it's okay not to be there. You won't feel guilty about coming or not being here. You should never feel guilty coming to church, ever. Conviction by the Lord, that's it. Condemnation not from anybody. Okay? Pray about that this week. I don't want you to miss an opportunity like I missed, because I never got that opportunity again. That was a one-time deal. For that moment, for that time. I don't know what I missed out on. But guess what? That showed me as I don't want to miss out again. God, if you're telling me to go somewhere, please help me. Listen so I don't miss out on you again. Lord, I thank you so much that we can come and be here together, hear what you want to share with us this week, Lord. This is just an exciting time of preparation of our hearts. Lord, we need you to help us focus as this world is so busy. This world is so burdensome at times. Lord, I need you to help me focus on you and not miss the moments of the day where you're speaking to me and preparing me for next week and preparing me for this week in this moment. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for bringing us here today. We pray for those who are not able to make it today also. We pray for tonight, Lord, that as more people come, hopefully people from the community come in and they see and they're able to have joy with us, or at least experience what our joy is, that they might desire you, Lord. Lord, use us that way. But we need to be prepared. Lord, help us. Prepare us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And all God's children said, amen. I don't know how much of the message we'll get through today. Can't see the clock back there. I think it's, what time does it say? 5 till? Does it say 5 till already? Are you kidding me? Wow. All right, well, I definitely don't want to keep people longer here than what they need to be. I have a word to share. If you need to get up and leave at any time, I'm not going to take offense, okay? If you've got things you've got to do, if you're sore from sitting so long, that's okay. You had the freedom in God's house to do that. I will share until the Lord says no. It's time to stop, okay? Because today's message is important, because it's about preparation. We're going to be in Exodus 12, 1 through 6 is our main passage, but we're also going to couple that with a passage in John. If you want to mark that now, it's going to be in John 12, starting in verse 1. And if you'd like to stand, we will read Exodus 12, 1 through 6 together today. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, they are to each take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of the persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, 1 year old. You may take from it, from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight." You may be seated. Lord, we pray that as your word comes forth, it's life. And we seek you today, Lord, because you are life. We can't manage life without you here. We need you to speak into our minds and our hearts. Take control of us. Show us your word so that we may fall in love with you even more than we do now. Lord, take us. May this time be a glory to you. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. This week is a week of preparation for not only for us, but for the Jewish people as well, for Passover. Very, very important time in Jewish culture. Extremely important time for the believer. And as we prepare, they have something that they're preparing for. The Jewish people have this week of remembering. It's a week of remembering for them about the 10th plague of all the plagues that when God was going to take them out of Egypt. 10 plagues he used to catch Pharaoh's attention, to catch the people's attention, so that they would not know that God was moving and God is real. Amen? He's powerful. No king can overtake him. No one can rule over God, period. God proved that to the people of Israel. And on the 10th plague, he reminds, he says, I want you to always remember this, what I have done and how I've done it. And it's an important thing that I want you to establish in the every single year. So it's a year, every year, preparing for this week, for Passover week. It was a plague that was against the land of Egypt, but not just the Egyptians. God uses his power as he passes over the houses, the people would remember this. And he would tell the destroyer, yes or no. If they had the blood of the lamb over the lintel in the doorposts, he said, this one's mine. They're obedient to me. They trusted me. Destroy or pass them over. God wants the people to remember that. Every year they're going to have this feast, this celebration of Passover. And then he brings them out of Egypt and he takes them into the promised land, the place where they're going to be free from the bondage of sin, or bondage of Egypt. For us, we know it as sin. But the bondage of the Egyptians, the Pharaoh that had control over everything they did, they had no ability to say, hey, you know what, I'm just going to stay out for a little bit longer today, or I'm going to go travel over to the lower parts of Africa. I said, okay. He's like, no, you got to stay right here. I control you. You're mine. And God freed the people of Israel from this. And he wants them to remember it. But for us, as followers of Jesus, it's a time of remembrance of God's power, what he saved us from. Amen? You remember the day that you accepted Christ in your life, and there was this freedom that took place. There was this cutting off of something that was on your back, gripping your heart, grabbing onto your mind, clouding your eyes. There was some type of a freedom that took place that you know only God could do. It wasn't an emotional change. It wasn't I think I just understand life a little bit better. No, it was, I know who I am in this creation, that I need a Savior. I need somebody to take me from where I'm at and take me into a safe place, because I need a Savior. I need Jesus in my life. I need this God who created me. I can't do it without him. That became real to you. It became alive. And we can remember that every single day. Or we can forget about it. But times like this, every year, when we celebrate the beginnings of the preparing for the resurrection, it's a reminder of what we've been saved from. It's an exciting thing. It gets us energized. I do think of the word revival. It brings you from a place of, I'm just here, to over the top, excited again for life. That's what my hope is for us this week. Even from, forget revival, just in our preparation time for next week of what God is doing in our lives. So for us, the power of God, that he saved us from that bondage of sin. And we've talked for weeks about how controlling it is. I spoke with a young man as I was driving up on Friday. I said, Lord, you know, I'm going to meet some people, and I'm probably going to meet some people at the cash register because I got to buy some things. And Lord, just help me to be a light for you. Show me who you want me to meet today. So I'm meeting some people, and I'm talking to some people, and met this store, and it's kind of a have you ever been to a music store, and it's kind of got different people there. You know, they're kind of really laid back and kind of think a lot about life a little bit differently than other people. And I'm like, Lord, you want me to say blessed, have a blessed day? Because, I mean, you know, is that kind of Christian easy? Or is that something you want me to say? Or do you want me to say, hey, man, have a good day? How do you want me to say it? Or say, hey, just have a good day. So I'm like, I ended up saying, hey, just have a great day. And I walk out, I was like, well, Lord, did I really like show who you are to them? Because I didn't have a conversation about who you are. Is that bad, Lord? I'm just help me figure this out. So I'm at and talk to somebody else and have a good day. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. If you don't say, hey, have a blessed day, you're not like Christian because you don't say blessed day. I don't know if you felt like that before. Sometimes I feel like that. But Lord was like, it's okay. So I'm walking away from Trader Joe's. You ever been to Trader Joe's? Great store, great food. I love it. And I packed up my things in the truck, and I turn this guy comes up, and he says, sir, can you spare me a couple of dollars? And I said, a couple of dollars for what? And I kind of enacted out how I did it. He's kind of like, a couple of dollars for what? That's how it was. He said, well, I don't have any food. And I'm, he's like, well, why don't you have any food? He's a young guy, maybe 22 years old. He's like, why don't you have any food? Why don't you have any money? He's like, well, you know, I live down here. I'm homeless. And I'm like, why are you homeless? And he's like, well, I just, you know, I don't have a job. And it's like, well, what happened that you don't have a job? So, well, it's kind of hard for me to get a job because I was in prison. And I said, why were you in prison? I'm a questioner, I guess. And he said, well, I was doing some drugs, and then I skipped parole. And then I was like, they threw me in, and I was turned into prison. So I was like, well, okay. I don't give you money, but let's go to Trader Joe's. Got some food in there. So we walked into Trader Joe's, and I'm like, Lord, and is this the person you want me to meet today? Is this it? This is the person? So, and really nice guy. I mean, super nice guy. And we're walking in, and he's like, hey, just pick something you want out. And he picks out, I was like, yeah, I'll get you a sandwich. Picks out a sandwich from him. He's like, man, I've never been here before. He's like, yeah, it's a good place. They got food all over here. You pick that, and it's already made for you. So the Lord says, "Okay, go get him some chips." Or before the chips, he said, "Would you like anything else? Like, you like some fruit or something?" He's like, "Oh yeah." It's like, "Okay." He wants some fruit. I'm like, "Oh, hey, we'll get him a bag of these apples, right?" He's got a backpack. You put him in there. He's like, "Oh, I love Granny apples, Granny Smith apples. Oh, they're the best." I was like, "All right, grab two." So we grab. We go. Hey, you want some chips? No, no, no. I don't want to break the bank. He said, "I don't want to break the bank. I don't want to abuse your generosity." He's like, well, you need something to drink, though, right? So we go get something to drink, and he gets a bottle. You can buy these root beer bottles, and you get one instead of buying all four of them. So he gets one. And we go up, and we're paying for it. And I'm like, the Lord says, hey, Trader Joe's probably a great place for him to work. They accept people who are like not the normal people because they're pretty cool that way. They're kind of laid back like the people in the guitar store. And I kind of favor the guitar people because I like guitars. And so I asked him, hey, you guys hiring? He's like, well, we're not really hiring now, but if he wants to apply, so we go get an application, and we're filling the thing out, and he comes up and he's like, wow, this is kind of amazing. I was like, yeah, you know. Hey, they're great. Fill this thing out. Talk to that guy. Turn it back into him. He's like, man, do you think they'll accept me? Because I've been in prison. They might not do this. I've applied to tons of places, and if they do background check, I'm done. Forget it. And I was like, well, you know what? They might overlook that. We've talked to the guy. His name's Sean. Go back and talk to Sean, and maybe it'll work out. So we're getting ready to leave, and I'm like, man, it's like, thank you so much. I said, you know, hey, I'm no different than you are. Okay, the message that we talked about in Romans 7, I absolutely love the message. If you remember it as we went back, that sin is so gripping. Here's sin. It's the power of it is so beyond I could ever have imagined of what it is. In my flesh, I'm no different than anybody out there. Amen. I'm no different. You're no different. I could be that same young man if I got caught in the flesh. I could still do it today. Become a drug addict. I can still do it today. Lose my job. I can still do it today. Lose my marriage. Lose my kids. I can make bad choices just like anybody else. I need Jesus to help me not make bad choices. And when I really realize it, which is why I love Romans 7, is that I am absolutely pathetic and I need a Savior, then it makes it easy to live life because I need to be dependent upon God. So as we're talking, it's like, you know, hey, he said this phrase. And he said, hey, do you go to Journey Church? I said, oh, no. I'm a pastor down in Cameron at Beaver Creek. He's like, oh, where's that? So, well, that's about an hour away. He's like, oh, that's too far for me to go. But I was like, yeah, I've heard of Journey. He's like, yeah, I like that church there. And I said, well, okay, great. I encourage you to continue walking with Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give up. I have friends who are drug addicts. And they love Jesus. Yes, they struggle. And it goes up and down, up and down, up and down. But they love Jesus. And they're asking for his help. Isn't that where we're all at? I need Jesus' help. So it doesn't matter if I'm asking for Jesus' help. So I encouraged him. Keep walking with Jesus. And he said, well, you know, I'm not a bad person. I do good things for people. I try to help people, and I don't want to take advantage of people. I do nice things for people. And I said, brother, Romans 7, you're a wretch, man. You're not a good person. Neither am I in my flesh without Jesus in my life. I need Jesus to help me make good choices. I need Jesus to do things for Jesus. And I shared with him the same story that I shared with you. If I gave $5 million to an organization, y'all are going to think, that's a nice man. What a good guy he is. What a great heart he has to give for people. And before Jesus, it's ugly, disgusting, because I did it for me. I didn't do it for him. Jesus didn't say give $5 million to an organization. If he did, then I could say, hey, whoa, hold on. Don't give me praise. He told me to do it. It wasn't me. My flesh says, hold on to that. Don't give it away. Don't know when you'll get it back, ever. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. Don't think that you can make yourself better in your drug addiction or a better person. You need Jesus to transform your life, and you need to totally depend on him in absolutely everything. And he said, I know I've been told this before, but it's hitting me like it's the first time I've ever heard it. I said, you know what? I prayed. God, help me meet somebody today. If you want me to meet somebody, help me to understand it, who it is. Let me be available. Let me be who you want me to be in that person. Speak through me. And he said, and I said, you're the man. I've already spoken to a couple cash registers people. And I know it wasn't them. You're the person who God brought to me today and me to you. So you're hearing this. This is Jesus speaking to you. This is not me. This is God speaking to you. If it's making sense, Jesus is touching your heart. Listen to him. Walk with him. So I left. Forgot to get a selfie with him. So I asked him, would you send me a picture of yourself so I can, my kids will love to pray for you. And they will. And we have. So he did. And we're going to keep in contact. Because it's important. I don't know where I got off on that trail, but it fits in here somehow, because God has taken us, and this is where it fits, from the bondage to take us to a place that is free, where we can share that message with other people. We have a world that believes in a veiled outlook. It's clouded. It's confused. And I see it more and more and more. And I thank the Lord for messages that he shares that touches my heart, that reminds me, like Romans 7. I don't know how many times he's brought that passage back in the last 4 weeks of conversations with people. I'm absolutely convinced our society in our world today, in postmodernism, believes we're not that bad. You look at marriages, I'm not that bad. It's the other one. You look at kids, I'm not that bad. I'm the better child. I'm the better student. Because I do X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z. I do these things. And it never comes back to, well, Jesus does this in me, and you guess what? I'm not better. Because I never would say I'm better than somebody else if Jesus is ruling my life. It makes no sense.